Yeah. Welcome to New Hampshire. I'm glad that each and every one of you are here. What a treat it is to stand behind this pulpit, young people. I have stood on this platform since 1982, first time I was up here. And I have stood on this platform wearing all kinds of hats. I've been the song leader. I have been a concertizer. I have been a recruiter. I have been all kinds of stuff. But I think this is the first time ever that I'm here as a preacher. And what a privilege. As I stand here, I must confess that my mind goes back to great days. I've heard some real heroes of mine stand on this very platform. Men like Dr. Bob Jr., men like Dr. Dave Yerrick, Chuck Coffey, Kevin, remember him, and just some great men that have stood up here, and now the privilege is mine. I'm so unworthy, and but thank you. Hey, listen, my name is Brother Mike. Do not call me Shirok, I'll smack you. All right, my name is Brother Mike. Would you all stand, please? Would all of you stand? It's so good to have you here on this Wednesday night. And ladies and gentlemen, can I just warn you? I'm not normal. Okay, let's just establish that right up front. I am not normal, and I will be all over the place, but every time we are together, young people, every time we're together, all right, which will be, as I understand, about six times, we are going to say a memory verse together, the same one, and I want you to learn it with me, okay? And this particular verse comes with motions. That's in the Greek. And I want you to do the motions with it, but would you just look at the people in front of you and behind you and just ask them, can I borrow 20? You know, go ahead. Say hi to him, would you? Just say hello. All right. Look this way, would you please? I want to memorize a verse with you. And would you please be quiet? And it comes with motions. Now, young people, when you say, and old people, when you say, something's over there, what kind of gesture do you do? Something's over there. Yeah, you point. Well, the very first word of our verse is therefore. So the way you start out is, please do not hit your neighbor. But therefore, you know, point anywhere you want. Therefore. Now, wait a minute. I'm teaching it to you. Hush. Okay? Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, where's Christ? Point to him. Where's Christ? Okay, well, technically, yeah, I guess you could say he's up there, right? He's also right here, isn't he? So you can point to either one. You can either right here or up there, okay? So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What am I doing? I'm washing my face. Guys, you got to try it. I'm washing my face, all right? I'm a new creature, and that's what always happens when somebody gets saved. God kind of gives them a shower. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. What am I doing? This gesture is illegal in the NBA. I know because I used to play for 10 years. This is illegal. I am so lying. This is like I needed to tell you that. But anyway, it means to kill somebody. To fuck. You know, that's illegal. Seriously, you get fined $15,000, $20,000. But anyway, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Okay, you can do that gesture. Behold, firework. Behold, all things are become new. What kind of gesture do you suppose we would do for new? Bling. Okay, new. Isn't that cool? And I want you to say the address of the verse before and after the verse. All right, so it goes like this. Let me just show you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that's where it's found. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, isn't that cool? Have you ever seen anything so cool? Of course you haven't. And so, would you look at your neighbor to say, you can do it? All right, here we go. On your marks. Get set. Go. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Always cracks me up when I see a congregation. You guys look so charismatic. But alright, well, remain standing. Remain standing if you would please. And we're going to have a word of prayer. And just ask the Lord to use our time together. And let me just say again, I am just absolutely tickled bald to be here. I'm just so thankful. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Moody. Thank you, Dublin Christian Academy, for the opportunity of being in cold New Hampshire. I just flew home on Monday from Port St. Lucie, Florida. It was in the 80s. I was home for about 36 hours, and then here I am in frigid New Hampshire. All right. Are you ready? Let's have a word of prayer together. Can we please? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for the privilege you've given me to be here. Lord, I don't deserve it. God, I thank you for the privilege you've given these young people to be here. They don't deserve it. Lord, I know it's by your grace that over the decades this place has existed. You've kept it open. You've used it in so many countless lives. God, I thank you so much for the privilege of just rubbing shoulders with this congregation tonight. And I pray that you would just use your word. Lord, I know you want to, but the question is, are these young people going to let you? Father, I pray that you would use it in the lives of the adults too. And Lord, I pray that long after this week is said and done, may the effects of our time together be long lasting. In every life. In Jesus' name I'm asking this because I know it's your will. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, I was raised, and this will kind of help you to understand some of my comments this week, but I was raised in Seattle. I'm originally from the West Coast. We lived in Seattle because my dad was an engineer for Boeing. Boeing makes commercial airliners. They also make fighter jets. They also make space shuttles. But their number one claim to fame is they make commercial jets. And so I have always been fascinated. Sorry about your foot. We need to have a healing service, don't we? I have always been fascinated by jets. By jets. I'm fascinated with them, okay? And maybe you are too, especially some of you guys. But I want to tell you something about jets that you may not know. Every jet, young people, that carries passengers, adults, every jet that carries passengers is required by an international board called the FAA to have inside of its nose cone, which often opens up like a refrigerator door, inside that nose cone, it's required to have a state-of-the-art cutting-edge radar dish about that big. As that jet is flying through the air, that radar dish is constantly scanning the horizon for objects that may be in the way and dangerous. Well, that radar dish, folks, is connected by wiring through the firewall into the cockpit to a state-of-the-art, cutting-edge computer that has been specifically and specially designed for that particular jet. In fact, young people, that computer is so sophisticated, it has been programmed to talk to the pilot if that radar dish detects anything in the way. You'll find this interesting, folks. That voice that computer has always speaks in English. English is considered the universal language of air travel. So no matter if you're flying for China, you're flying for Russia, you're flying for South America, you're flying for Poland, you're flying whatever, you have to be able to speak English if you're going to make the big bucks those captains make on those international flights. You've got to be able to speak English. They've also, young people, that voice also is always a female voice. They have found that pilots readily react more quickly to a female voice than they do to a male voice. I got some theories on that, but let's not go down that road right now. Well, about every May, I have the opportunity of doing a revival in Armona, California, which is right next door to Lemoore Naval Air Station. That's where all of our United States Navy F-18 fighter pilots go through to learn carrier landing. They've got a specially designed runway there that simulates an aircraft carrier. And so I've been on that base numerous times and been given tours. And I remember the last time I was there, I remember seeing some pilots get out of their plane and walk by me, and I heard them talking about Betty. That's what they call her. That voice has lovingly been given a name by pilots, even fighter pilots, as Betty. Well, young people, listen. There was a large commercial jetliner, literally 200 people on board. It was a biggie. This commercial jetliner was sitting at the end of a runway of an airport in Spain. Spain is very mountainous. And this jet was sitting at the end of the runway, and the captain went to give his engines maximum power. They tell me that when a pilot goes to do that, the co-pilot will reach over and put his hand on top of the pilot's just to make sure those levers are mashed all the way forward so that each engine pod is getting maximum power. That's very important on a takeoff. And that's exactly what they did. Immediately, that Spanish plane, piloted by that Spaniard pilot, immediately started to gain speed. It got faster and faster. It began to rotate on the landing gear. That's a good thing. That causes increased lift on the wings. And immediately that jet started to gain elevation. That pilot then hit a switch and he brought in his landing gear as it got faster and faster. As it gained elevation and got faster, that pilot also hit some more buttons that brought in his flaps and he made his airplane what pilots refer to as clean. As that jet was flying through the air, young people, you hear on the flight data recorder, which is a little orange box called the black box for some reason. It's a little orange box somewhere in that cockpit that records everything. What the instruments are reading, what's being said over the microphone, what kind of information is coming in, it records everything. You hear on the flight data recorder, all of a sudden you hear Betty. Betty is saying, pull up, pull up, pull up. Pull up. Pilots tell me that when Betty's making a command like that, there's rather an annoying whistle that they put in between her statements to kind of wake up the pilot in case he might have dozed off. And so it kind of sounded like this. Pull up! Pull up! Pull up! Pull up! You'll hear that in your nightmares tonight. But you hear that Spaniard pilot say in English, shut up, gringo. That's what the Spaniards call you Americans. Shut up, gringo. And he took his finger and he flipped the toggle switch to Betty. His cockpit went quiet. Young people, I promise you, adults, I promise you, that pilot was thinking, nothing worse than a cramped little area like this and a brawling woman. There's a proverb like that, isn't there? Well, young people, you can probably guess the end of the story, can't you? 2 minutes to the second into that flight, that massive jet slammed into the side of one of those Spanish mountains, killing everybody. Nobody survived. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's fair to say, I personally never want to fly with an idiot like that. Oh, he had a pristine record. He had to become the captain. I mean, he was good at what he did. He no doubt had all kinds of talent. But when it came to the common sense of using all this sophisticated equipment that he had right there at his disposal, he deliberately chose to ignore it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what I'm looking at. I am looking at all kinds of pilots. Oh, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You're the one at the controls. Oh, I realize that. You're the one who makes the decisions. You're the one who flies your life. Yes, sir, seventh grader. Yes, sir, adult. I realize that. And I realize as a preacher, as I stand in front of you, I am nothing more than a voice. That is all I am. I know that. And you're the pilot. You're the one at the controls of the cockpit. And I realize every time I preach, no doubt there can be somebody out there saying, shut up. I don't want this. This is so not me. And you check out mentally and go to Disney World or who won the Super Bowl last Sunday or who's going to win your next basketball game or what you've got to do at work tomorrow. Oh, yes, yes, ma'am, I realize that. But would you understand something tonight, my friends? As a voice, I'm wired. More ways than one, I'm wired. I am wired to a state-of-the-art, cutting-edge radar. There it is. And ladies and gentlemen, I realize that I'm just a voice. But this right here knows where the mountaintops are, people. It knows where the dangers are. It knows how to counsel you. So you can fly in a way that's safe and happy and joyous. But I realize, you can tune me right out. Happens all the time. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, some of you, perhaps, can't help it. You can't help it. Because when it comes to this book, well, you're kind of like 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Would you turn there, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to show you a verse that I think is just utterly fascinating. And we're going to kind of talk, if we can, here this evening, about your attitude, young people, towards the radar. Towards the radar. And those that are wired and those that are just simply voices of that radar. I want to just encourage you here tonight with your attitude towards God's voice. And ladies and gentlemen, let's just look at this carefully. Can we please look what it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14? It says this, "But the natural man," would you look at me for a moment, please? People, when the Bible uses the word natural, it's always referring to somebody unsaved. The reason the Bible uses that word is because that's the way you were born. For somebody to be unsaved, for somebody to find that book and no thank you, is very, very natural. In fact, teachers, they tell me that when I stand in front of a student body like this, half of you are unsaved. Whether or not that's true at DCA, I have no idea. But I am told that half of this student body is unsaved. How do you know a real Christian? Young people, he tells you how to identify somebody who's not. What is this verse? Let's go on. What does it say? But the natural or the unsaved man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, that's the Bible, because they are, please say the next word out loud, foolishness unto him. What the Bible is telling you there, folks, through the Apostle Paul is this, that somebody unsaved will always find this book, will always find the preaching of it, foolishness. Foolishness. What does the word foolishness mean? Let me act it out for you, could I please? Let me show you what the word foolishness means. You ready? You mean that says something about what I watch on TV? Get out of here. Idiot. You mean that says something about what I listen to? That says something about my thought life? That says something about what I do on a date? That says something about the way I treat my employer? That says something about the way I treat authority? Get out of here. That's stupid. No thank you. No thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the word foolishness means. In fact, let me show you something here tonight. Let me show you something. Let's just pretend. I want to show you something I see all the time. As I rearrange DCA here, I want to show you something I always see. Now, adults, stay with me, would you please? I realize this sounds bad, but there's a reason I'm doing this. Given the nature of my calling in life right now, I do tons of preaching to teenagers. I do more to old people, young people. I do more preaching to them, but I do tons of stuff. Snow camps like this, Bible conferences, camps. I love it! I love preaching to teenagers. Let me tell you why. Young people, let me tell you something about you that you may not know. You teenagers are not as good yet as you're gonna get at hiding your emotions. When teenagers are kind of famous for what they proverbially say, wearing their hearts on their sleeves. I mean, when a teenager doesn't like you, it's easy to see. You know, when they like you, you can kind of tell. Old people, like they're in the back, old people, you know, their muscles are kind of sagging and their faces are kind of sagging and they could, they're harder to read. They're harder to read, but you young people, you know, because everything's still kind of tight and fresh, you're kind of easy to read. You know, you're kind of easy to read. And so, let me show you something here tonight that I always see when I'm preaching to teenagers. Could be a camp. Could be in a youth group setting. Could be in a Christian school. But I'll look out there. And I'll see a young lady sitting there. And she's usually sitting there like this. Not always. But usually her feet are crossed just like this. Her legs are crossed. Nothing wrong with that. No, nothing wrong with that. Her feet are, legs are usually like this, and this is while I'm preaching, her foot's doing this. Ever seen that before? Girls, I don't know why that's comfortable, but for some reason it is. And her arms are usually like this, you know, while I'm preaching. And her eyes are everywhere in the auditorium except on me. You know, and if it's sleep. So hard on these. I'm so sorry. What in the world happened? Her eyes are everywhere in that room except for on me. And if she's good or if it's legal or if she's sneaky like my wife was in high school, there's always a wad of something in her mouth. Bubblicious. I love Bubblicious. I just had a piece an hour ago. Bubble Yum, that's not quite as good, right? Bubble Yum. Or down south where I live, Red Man. You guys didn't get that. I'm so proud of you. That's chewing tobacco. But anyway, she's sitting there. She's sitting there while I'm preaching, sitting there like this. Oh, look, a fly. Oh, look, he's texting. I hope it's to me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something about that girl. Let me tell you something about her. They tell us if you go to a quality college someday, they're going to make you take some kind of communications class like freshman speech. And you'll learn in that freshman speech class, young people, maybe you already have through Mr. Katka or somebody, but they tell you that 90% of what you say never comes out of your mouth. 90% of all the communicating you ever do in your life, people, is through what we call non-verbal communication. That young lady is saying something very loudly and very clearly, although there's probably nothing coming out of her mouth except for maybe a bubble. She's saying something very loudly, very clearly. And what's she saying? Boring! This is stupid! I don't like this! I can't wait till this is over so I can get out there and meet that guy and buy some more Bubblicious. This is stupid! Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something about her. This will shock you. She can't help it. She can't help it, just like some of you. She can't help it. She's just acting natural. That's what Paul's telling you. Somebody unsaved, young people, will always find the Bible. No, thank you. Now, lest I just pick on young ladies. Let me show you what I always see with guys. And I so know this because I are one. Guys have one of two favorite positions. Our second most favorite position is this one right here. I don't know what it is about our real estate. We just love our space. We love to stare at it. And we think things like, oh, look, there's an ant. I wonder if I spit if I could hit him. That is so guy-like. But let me show you our number one all-time favorite position. This is while I'm preaching. I see this all the time while I'm preaching. Oh, that's so comfortable. But ladies and gentlemen of Dublin, let me tell you something about that guy. even though there's nothing coming out of his mouth except for bad breath. What's he saying? What's he saying? Oh, it's easy. Bang! This is stupid! I don't like this! I can't wait till you're done! I'd rather be out there playing ball and buying burgers and meeting babes in that order. This is so not me! Yuck! Ladies and gentlemen, let me say it. Let me say it. You can't help it. I can understand that. I used to be that way. I can understand that. He's just acting natural. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Paul's trying to tell you. In 1 Corinthians 2:40, that's all he's saying, that somebody unsaved will always find that book. So not me. No thanks. Nah. What it says about my life, no thanks. I can't wait till I'm out of this dumb school so I can call my own shots and this stuff. No thanks. How sad. Young person, you are more of a fool than that pilot who flipped the toggle switch. There is not a single verse in here that was ever written, young people, to make your life miserable. This book was written to help you fly a life that is full of contentment and joy and peace. Your designer, your engineer, if you will, designed you and knew exactly how to program you for the best flight ever. Young people, listen. Let me show you something tonight. Let me show you what a real believer is like. I love this verse. Let me show you what a real believer is like. I got goose pimples. Can you see them? Let me show you what a real verse is like, a real Christian is like. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, would you please? We will not be back in 1 Corinthians, okay? So you can just leave it entirely. And go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to show you a verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hurry up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse number 13. Oh, this is so cool. This is so cool. Where's your Bibles, you little Nimrods? Goodness gracious. Are you seventh graders? Figures. Okay. Bring your Bibles, you little dipwad. Alright, here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Are you there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And watch this, would you please? Verse number 13. I just absolutely do. I love this. Very first phrase says this. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Would you please say that much with me? On your marks. Get set. Go. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. One more time for grandma. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Now, let me tell you what Paul's doing there. I don't know how many of you have ever seen a National Football League game. Anybody ever seen one? Super Bowl last Sunday, duh. Can I show you something I've never seen? I have never in my life ever seen this. Some guy on the team, either a running back, or wide receiver, the quarterback, in any given game will get the ball, and he'll start running down the field, and he'll zig, and he'll zag, and juke, and jag, and somewhere, and somehow get to an area on the field called the end zone. And when they get there, I have never, ever, ever seen a guy get there and do this. Oh, what did I do? I just offended 11 guys on the field with me. Oh, please forgive me. I was, how thoughtless. I wasn't thinking. What a jerk I am. I've never seen that. Let me show you what I have seen. Some running back, some wide receiver, some kickoff returner, whoever he is. He gets the ball, he zigs, he zags, zigs, zigs. He gets to this area called the end zone. And immediately, what does he do? Bam! He jams that football into the turf. And he starts doing things like this. Yes! I never want one. We're number one. We're in last place, but we're number one. And I am the right. I am wonderful. And he starts doing some kind of dance that he's, you know, the moonwalk, you know, or something like that. And he's having his own personal party. Fair enough. In his heart, in his spiritual heart, he's going, yes! Yes! Now, you may not see him doing that, but in his heart he is. Oh, and by the way, every godly person, people in your life, is doing the same thing when verse number 13 is happening in your life. What made Paul so tickled? Read on. Read on. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because, here it is, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, because we were the voices, ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now watch this last phrase. Here's where I'm going. Love this last phrase. Which effectually worketh. Young people, this is what the Bible always does in the life of a believer. Which effectually worketh also in you that, what? Believe. Don't know how many of you are Christians. But if indeed you are, people, if indeed you're a real believer, this book always effectually worketh, effectually worketh, effectually worketh, effectually worketh, effectually worketh, effectually worketh. What does the word effectually worketh mean? I'm glad you asked. Let me show you something. I brought something for you to see. Have you guys ever seen this? You guys ever seen this little guy? One of my favorite icons in all of TV. A number of years ago, I went to www.energizer.com. And I got them for $12.95, $50 shipping. You know how that works, don't you? And this little guy has been traveling with me now for a number of years. Isn't he cute? No, girls, you may not have him, so hush. But he's been traveling, and in fact, a couple summers ago, I was preaching for a camp down on campus at Bob Jones, and went to go get him later that evening. He had been kidnapped. A couple of our college girls, kidnapped him, and he spent a couple nights in the girls' dorms. He's never been the same. Came back a little heavier. No, I'm teasing. Oh, shut up. But anyway, this, ladies and gentlemen, is probably one of the most recognized icons on TV. Probably one of the most regular, and I think I have never met anybody in my life that doesn't love this little guy. The Energizer Bunny. Been on TV for years. I love the newest commercials where he's abducted by aliens because they want to find his secrets. But what do they always say about this guy? Young people, adults, what do they always say? He keeps on going. And of course, why do they say that? Because they want you, the commercial victim, the next time you go to a store, oh, I need a battery for my flashlight. Oh, I need a battery for my lip massager. I need a battery. Oh, I'm going to get the Energizer because it's cool. It's better than the other batteries. It's better than Duracell because they got the bunny. That's what they want you to think, right? Am I right? Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, what does it say on his drum? Yeah, what does it say? Yeah, you just spoke Greek. Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. He's looking for blonde roots. You just spoke Greek. Oh, hush. The Energizer. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly the word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:13. What a picture of a Christian. There you are. There is probably no greater icon on TV that represents a Christian more than that little guy right there. That's so you, if you're saved. I mean, you just keep going. No matter how hard life gets, no matter what happens, no matter what happens with your health, no matter with what happens to you financially, no matter what happens whether you're single or married, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The circumstances of life do not matter. You just keep going and going and going. Why? Because the Word of God works in you. It kind of just beats your drum. Just beats your drum. You love it. You love the Bible. You want the Bible in your life. You're so like this guy where now that you're saved, now that you're the genuine deal, now that you're the real believer, way down deep in your heart, oh, I used to find it kind of silly, but I like it now. I want it. You mean it says something about what I watch with my DVD player? Bring it on, voice. Not so I can debate it. So I can pound it on my drum. Oh, it says something about my fashion, girls. Oh, bring it on, voice. Oh, it says something about where I go on the internet, guys. Oh, bring it on, voice. Oh, it says something about my work ethic. Bring it on, sir. I want to know. Not so I can debate it, so I can live it. Young people, adults, it even says something about your, and I'm about to use a five-letter word that just fascinates me. I'll be in front of a congregation. Things are going so well. People are out there going, I like you. You're weird, but yeah, it's good. Yeah, bring it on, Baldy. That's good, yeah, yeah. But the moment I mention this five-letter word, shut up. But young people, the Bible says so much about it. Adults, you're just as bad at it. The Bible says so much about it. And that's your music. Your music. Music is not a personal item, Christian. It's a godly didactic tool that God uses to teach. And God said so much about your music, folks, so much. No thanks. Ooh. I have every reason to question. Are you sure you're a Christian? I want that book, young people. I want it in every area of my life. I can't help it. I'm not natural. I'm super. I'm a Christian. That's all. And I wonder how many of you here tonight have an attitude towards the book, the radar. Oh, bring it on. Whatever it says about my life, whatever it says about what I am doing in my life, bring it on! I want it! I love that book! Ladies and gentlemen, nothing indicates more clearly whether you're a Christian or not by your attitude towards that book. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? I realize you might be sitting next to a friend.